Hello, and welcome to the Story Partners podcast. We are your hosts, Walt and Annie Maness. We're so glad you're here.
We're a team of storytellers who seek to tell stories that point people to Jesus.
Imagine investing your heart and soul into your passion, spending countless hours of training and preparation to hone your craft, only to realize that maybe it's not the right path for you. What then? Our friend Elizabeth Bernhardt is living right in the middle of this tension. Listen in as she processes the struggle between pursuing her passion and staying committed to Jesus. This episode is called, Are We Pretending or Is This For Real?
I don't think that the lure of winning an Oscar was as important to me as the lure of doing Oscar level work, because I am struck dumb by really good acting. And so I think I wanted that. I felt like the raw material was in me and it was meant to be honed. And so if I could just hone it, if I could get through all the obstacles and like the gauntlet and I could hone it and make this craft my own, then that would be the price, you know, that I could be the actor I knew I could be. I have always wanted to be an actor from the time I was little. It was one of many dreams, but it's the one that lasted. I asked my mom to look for auditions in the newspaper, and she somehow never found any. I had a pretty traditional, like, church upbringing, and not in a way that I ended up revolting against. Like, I've just kind of stayed with it. So I had the flannel graph Jesus Sunday school lessons, and I had, I went to a summer camp that was this Christian summer camp that like fed me a lot and really showed me people that were on fire for Jesus, which sounds so 90s to say I'm on fire for Jesus, but I am. And looking back, I think I took it for granted, but I'm really like blessed and surrounded by almost everyone in our extended family believes and has intact families. And I mean, just a lot of like real the kingdom out, working out in our family. I think I'm a weird mix of practical and very artistic. And so I think I held myself back from being somebody that's like, I'm just gonna go to Broadway, you know? And I also, you know, the feedback you get in high school, like you watch how you're cast. And I wasn't cast as the lead, I was usually the supporting. So kind of watched that. And then I went to college and just, I mean, I was very into grades. So I thought you have got to get an A. So it didn't leave a lot of time for doing theater as a career in my mind. I kept telling myself it was impractical. But I think right after college, like I took my last test, I was like, done with school, finally, now I can act. Like it was there, you know, it was there. I went into it with a lot of like, the word in my head was gumption. Like I was just like, you know, some people make it and I might be them. Like I might be that one person. And I think the dream of it was so strong for me, and this just like, just drive to get it out. Like the drive to like, this is in me and I have to get it out. That was so strong that it kind of overrode all of the practical concerns, I guess. I started with just kind of going out for auditions. You know, I'll just go out and do community theater in Dallas and Dallas area, and I'll get experience that way. I started auditioning. My third one, I got in. I got cast, and that was really encouraging because usually you audition a lot, and I just really enjoyed being around good performers. I was so impressed by everyone's talent and how much I could learn from them, and how I was getting to kind of like watch art being done. And then I had a friend who introduced me to her agent. So then I got with an agent in Dallas, and then I was getting emails about jobs. And so it was more just going about it in like practical experience way at first. Another dream I had for it was to get an MFA, like to get a Master's of Fine Arts in it, because that's the highest degree you can get in acting. It's the practical one. It's not about the theory. It's about how can you hone the craft. And then you have your terminal degree. So the practical side of that is you can then teach it at the college level. And, but that was what I wanted. In my head, that was like the way I would go through, you know, kind of be an apprentice. I like that idea of like the Renaissance apprentices, you know, and they really learned the craft. I was in New York pursuing acting, and I did a lot of classes, kind of one-off workshops or classes. And some of them would put you in front of casting directors. They'd be like paid auditions almost. So that was mixing the experience with some teaching, or maybe the casting director would teach you and then it was both. And then I also eventually got into a Master's of Fine Arts program. So that was a 3-year training program. And that was very rigorous. I felt like what the roles were out there for women like me would be, I'm playing the girl who's part of the guy's coming of age story. And that's going to be my role. It just didn't feel like there was a lot of meaty roles that would show goodness. You know, it was like we were more about being a sex object, or sensuality was part of what was normally required, it seemed like. Acting is visual. It's a visual medium, and so you're the visual on display, like you're the subject of the portrait. And so that's a lot of thinking about how you look, and a lot of acting training is about finding what your type is and how other people see you, and either marketing, capitalizing on that, or being aware of that, or, you know, it can be real. When I feel like when actors talk about their type or someone else's type, sometimes it sounds so cutting or so just impolite, you know? It's not the way other people would talk about other people or about themselves, but it's just like, this is what you're supposed to know for the business. I went in as an empathetic person. I already cared about what are other people thinking, and that was kind of second nature. But when it came to actually dissecting a script, you have to ask very logical questions about what it's like to inhabit someone else's world, and you have to be able to fully flesh them out. And so in detail, the better acting is the more specific acting. And so it's, how can I ask on every single sentence this person's saying, what do they want? And what are their desires? What are they trying to get? And how can I actually fight for that for them as a character? I think there was a lot of dissonance between what it probably looked like from the outside when I was doing a role and what it looked like in my inner life or what my family experienced. I think I went, well, I won't be affected by this as much as, like, I can walk away from it. And it stuck. Like, the characters would stick to me and walk around with me. And I thought it would be easier to learn how to separate that, or I'd find headway. And I don't think that I did. I don't think I ever really got free of that struggle. I think it cost me emotional stability as well, because, again, especially, I know play experience is the best. And so with that, it's high highs and then low lows. And it's, there's just kind of, actors just know, like, there's post-show depression and it's real low. It's really low. And then there's, I mean, just these soaring highs that are almost manic, like almost, I feel like I'm out of control. I'm so happy. I think there was this weird dichotomy of, your job is to be the character, but once you're done, then somehow you're supposed to just switch back and you're not taking any of that character with you. So there's just this very weird, like, mind-body split, you know? You're closer than sitting across from the person. You are sitting in the chair of the person and be like experiencing the world as they experience it. So it's like, I don't know, first player video games, I guess. I remember this was not the only role, but it sticks out just because of the reactions of other people, where I felt like I was doing the craft really well. And I was, you know, I'd invested so much energy into this role, and it was one that I really wanted to play, and people were receiving it well. And it was, you know, if I could video it from the outside, that would be, yes, this is what I want to be doing. But it caused such a struggle in me emotionally. And I mean, and even someone close to the production was saying, like, oh, you're doing such a great job in this specific way. And that specific way was what was causing me trouble. And so I would get praise from people telling me, you're doing what an actor is expected to do. You're doing the art well. And so, And at the same time, I'm going, well, doing the art well is hurting me a lot. And I don't know who to go to for help. And I don't know where the resources are. And so what is good art then? That gets you into the bigger questions of, well, how do we judge what's good art? Is it art that takes care of the artist? Or is it just art that where we sacrifice all for the art? Like, is art God? Or how does this work? You know?
Did you know that along with this podcast, Story Partners makes short documentary films? We do. Come check us out on YouTube and subscribe to our channel to see the latest films as they release.
I think for me, what was most challenging in the acting field throughout was being a Christian and an actor. At some point, kind of Christians left theater and they were disturbed by what was going on in the theater world. So they left and that made it worse. And then so now if you try to get in, you're coming into a story that's been told for like been in process for a really long time. And so to come in as a lone Christian trying to do it Christianly and trying to actually make God sovereign over every choice you make, that is very countercultural. And even I think the most discouraging parts would be when I'd meet someone who said they were a Christian but didn't have that same sense of how to make decisions, and then I just felt more alone. So I mean, I'm trying to give grace to everybody, but I think it is just hard to feel alone, you know, to feel like I know myself and I know my own heart wants to go astray all the time too, and I'm fighting myself most of the time. And then to see it, not many like models or examples or mentors around me, just made it even harder. I think love stories are awesome. I am very drawn to them. I always have been. I grew up watching, you know, 40s musicals and chick flicks, and like that was my happy place. And that's what I wanted to act in most. And I'm good at it. I'm good at acting in those stories. But something that I've been learning more about lately is that even just culturally, we think that our body and our spirit are different, that they're separate. And in fact, I'm one person. And so I found that no matter how many mental barriers I'd put up, what I do with my body is what I'm doing with me. Like it's me. It's me acting something out. And so whether that is, you know, whatever that emotion is on stage or whatever that experience is, touch is touch. And emotions really are in your body and they really are affecting your mind and your spirit and your heart. And so it's confusing to me because, you know, even we have like quote unquote wholesome like Christmas romance movies, but I can't watch them anymore without thinking those two people are not married and they are kissing each other. Like it's not the characters kissing. Those are actress's lips, actor's lips. That's a real kiss. Like it doesn't matter who they're saying they are, because they're not. They actually are themselves. And so that's where it gets confusing for me. And like, what can I celebrate and what is wholesome and what is, you know, it's there's so much dissonance in that space. How much are you willing to put yourself through for this art? Because you will feel the feelings of falling in love. And you will, or at least a lot of people do. Not everyone does. Some people are able to do it, but I'm not one of them who's not going to feel those feelings. And then at the end of the show, when that whole imaginary world gets dismantled and you never are going to be in this same community again, and you're never going to be portraying that relationship again unless there's some revival of the play, then what? Like then when your body's still telling you that person is my person and you're saying, no, it's not, it's just to pretend. Like your body doesn't get it. Like your emotions don't understand. They're just like this kid inside you going, but you told me with my body that this was the person. And so it's just, I don't know, it's like I might get in trouble for saying all of this, but that's my real experience is it's very, it, maybe we can't separate ourselves into pieces. So I think part of trying to be Christianly about acting was being very careful about what roles I would accept and really trying to know the story ahead of time, which isn't actually part of the normal process. People, at least in New York, you'd look at audition notices and you'd get maybe a few sentences about the whole story and then go audition. And if you didn't take the part, if they gave it to you or if they offered it to you, you didn't take it, then you were kind of blacklisted. Like you just were expected to go in not knowing much. And I, at a certain point in time, realized that doesn't work. I really need to know a story ahead of time. And so I started asking for the script, and that actually helped me in some ways because they saw that I was serious, but it also gave me the chance to vet things ahead of time and then find a gracious way to bow out if I didn't want to audition. I think being a Christian and really trying to be careful about who I am and what God's asking of me meant the choices were very narrow. I think going through that whole experience with Christ, he proved himself over and over again. He's perfectly trustworthy and perfectly wise. And so I know a lot about his character from that experience. And so thinking he's guiding, I'm aware he knows so much more. I mean, he knows everything. So I can trust him with my heart because he made it. So I feel there's sadness in there and there's, you know, anger and bitterness that I'm probably still working through. And there's also, I was in a playwriting class recently that I was invited to and I spoke the language and I knew what was going on. And I was in that flow. Like it's easy for me to talk about those things. I know the language, but I had prayed for a long time, like, God, if you don't want me to do this, take away the desire. And it didn't go away. I don't know if that's a sign of me following God correctly or not, but I did get just kind of a distaste for it at a certain point in the more recent past. It's not quite the same, but right now it's kind of a hold and wait. Like there's been moments where I'm like, I think you might be bringing this back. And then other times when it's like, no, I think it's a fallow season and I don't know what's being planted. If I had a young person come up to me and tell me about their dream to be an actor and they wanted my advice, I would struggle a lot internally. I think, that's a huge question for me. I think that I would say you have to go in with, this is a hard one for me. You have to go in with both eyes open. You have to go in with equal parts desire and passion and freaking trained discernment. And because you are not going to be surrounded, it's not an easy road for you. If you have to also be very clear about what is sovereign in your life. Like, is God first or is he second? Because if he's not first, then he'll easily get pushed down farther and farther because there are very attractive things about this industry. And it plays on desires. Like, that's how the money's made. That's how they pull in actors for acting classes in New York. Like, they're training, they're marketing, they're like selling on people's dreams. Like, that's the currency, and dreams and desires. And so you have to be so grounded and you have to have other people that will keep you tethered to Christ. And I want it to be possible. I wish it were possible for me, and like maybe it will be. I don't know what God's doing, but it is not something to go into lightly at all, because the road is paved with landmines.
Are you someone who loves stories and really understands the value in sharing these types of stories? We're looking for people like you to join us in this work. Story Partners is completely crowdfunded, so donations from people like you are how we continue in the work. If you're passionate about this and want to be part of it with us, we invite you to become a regular supporter. Monthly gifts of $20, $30, or even $50 are a massive help in sustaining the ministry month to month. Setting up regular giving is easy on our website at storypartners.org.
I think in the time I spent acting and training, I think I did experience success because, like I said, my goal was to be excellent at the craft. And I did see those milestones. I did see those mile markers. And I did see I eventually got a voice, you know, and I eventually was able to, it became like second nature to me that I could step up on stage and I could be given a script. Like, I really like the idea of doing a cold reading now, or I just think that's fun, you know, because it's like you have to snap in, use all your skills right now. It's fun because it's in there. In this process, God has always been there, whether I felt like he was close or not, and whether I felt like I could hear or sense his guidance or not, he was always there guiding, and he's always been writing the story. And I think he's just so far above me that it's hard to know what the plot is. But he is absolutely the author and the director. I have a very strange relationship now to acting and to the arts in general, because I've felt very hurt by the whole experience. I've felt very disillusioned. I've also felt at times, you know, so fulfilled and so high and so excited. And so it's been everything. And I think I'm just trying to be open-handed and not let my desires be my guide, but submit them all to God and to his authority, because he's that good. Like, he's that sweet. He's that much better, you know?
I really love listening to Elizabeth talk about this intersection of acting and faith. Acting is not my field personally, so I know very little of this world, but I do find it so interesting to listen to Elizabeth talk about it. It pushes me to think in a new way about the movies and the plays that I consume, about the actual human souls who are playing the characters that I watch. The part of this story that I love the most is how Elizabeth talks about Jesus being that much better. I think in our world today, we're sold this lie that pursuing our dreams should be the highest goal, because in the end, that's what's going to satisfy us. Elizabeth's story is a really good reminder to me personally that while pursuing our dreams can be so much fun and fulfilling in a lot of ways, ultimately it's not the thing that fully satisfies. For Elizabeth, acting has brought so much joy, but it's also been full of landmines that have been really hurtful to her. I love that she has consistently pursued Jesus in the messiness of her journey in this industry. And I also find it really impressive that she's willing to hold acting with an open hand, surrendering even this lifelong dream that she's had as something she's willing to set aside just because Jesus is that much better. This story encourages me to continue to do the hard work in my own life of choosing over and over and over again to keep an open hand with my desires and my passions, and to put pursuing Jesus and loving him as the highest priority of my own life.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. We hope that it encourages you this week.
The Story Partners podcast is still very new, but we're already seeing the Lord use it to encourage people. If you've reached out to us to tell us what a specific episode has meant to you, thank you. It really does encourage Walt and I as we continue in this work. If you're willing, we would love for you to take a moment to rate and review the podcast for us. This is a huge help to us as we continue to try to get these stories out to more people.
We also wanted to give a big thanks to Elijah Delgado for providing our show music.
Elijah is a local artist here in Austin and also our friend. So be sure to check out his work wherever you stream your music.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope to see you on the next one. Until then.